Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and a nation, one nation under God. Today is Monday, August 15th, 2022, and we've got all sorts of things to talk about, but first we're going to remind everybody what the American Creed is. Excuse me. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. What do you think about that? I think that's what we should be doing, not to say that we are, especially that part, to defend against all enemies. That means the enemies from within, as well as the ones they keep importing in over our border and those that are globally out there that would like to destroy us. So please think about that and get engaged. It truly is up to we the people to what's going to happen to our country in the future. And that means today, tomorrow, next year, et cetera, et cetera. Now tonight, the focus is going to be on the ESG and the Inflation Reduction Act, 5376, that's going to hire 87,000 IRS agents that must be able to shoot to kill. They must be willing to use deadly force. So we'll get into all that after. But a couple things I want to get into first, and one of them is something here for those who are in Jackson County, Florida. Maybe true in other counties without the state of Florida, or throughout the state of Florida. I just found out. Now, when I moved to Jackson County from Orange County, I was told they had closed primaries, including their county commission. And so I went ahead and I did register as a Republican. I had been a no-party affiliate up to that point for many years, last 10 years, whatever. And then I saw this thing come up saying that everybody votes. Everybody votes in this primary. You know, there's only two people in this one. I have four elections on my primary. Two of them only have two people running, and in both cases, they're both Republicans. So what do you do when you're in that kind of a primary in a closed primary county? Well, in Orange County, if that happened, they would have to go to the general election. But apparently what they do here in Jackson County, which is supposed to be, I guess, the basics at the state level, is they're going to have what they call a universal primary. So everybody's supposed to vote in the primary on these particular districts. They call it universal primary. And what's going to happen is you're going to elect the person in the primary. Everybody will vote or has the right to vote, and then you'll elect somebody in the primary. I did contact the supervisor of elections for Jackson County, and, you know, very nice person. She's just telling me the laws. There's no county charter, et cetera, et cetera. She's just explaining it to me, how it is here in Jackson County. And then I just shared my thoughts that I think that's terrible. I think it's very unethical. It's a way to disenfranchise people. It's a way to alienate people. Because the majority of people who are no party affiliates or even Democrats won't vote because they don't think they're allowed to, because it's a closed primary. However, it's not really closed in this case. It's usually closed, but not closed here. So if you weren't paying attention, then you're not going to realize you're supposed to vote in this universal primary. And out of four votes in my particular district, four votes, two of them have that situation, 50% of them. And I personally really resent electing people in primaries. I don't think you should be electing people in a primary. So anyway, that's my rant of the day. So if you are in Jackson County, you're in Jackson County, Florida, and you're in, well, District 4, which is the district I'm in, and I think one other district's impacted in a similar way, everybody votes in the primary. There's going to be two people, two positions, who are going to be elected in the primary. Just because you think it's a closed primary doesn't mean it's really a closed. It's a closed primary except when it's a universal primary. It's terrible. I plan on addressing this at some point. Of course, it's not going to happen for this election, but that is not the way. It's very unethical. It's a way to manipulate and twist elections. Anyway, and that's my spiel on that one. Now, the next thing, I got two Karens on today, Karen Bracken and Karen Schoen. I'm going to have Karen Bracken's going to go first. She's going to talk about the, I put it out there on the page as a special announcement, H.R. 7806, removing the U.S. from the United Nations. We need to be out of there. Ron Paul tried to get us out of there years ago. Rand Paul has tried, has been working on it. Others have tried, but there is a new effort out there to get us out of the United Nations. So I wanted to have Karen Bracken go ahead and give you some info on this, how you can get involved, what's going on in general, and then we'll get into the ESG and the Inflation Reduction Act and all that fun stuff that's coming up. So with that being said, Karen, and I'm going to go ahead and get Karen Schoen is also out there, but Karen Bracken, you will please tell everybody a little about yourself, how they can contact you, and then the info on the United Nations.
Okay. Thank you. It's really a pleasure to be back again with you and Karen Schoen. We have a long history together, so I appreciate you inviting me back tonight. Let me just start with a little bit of background. As of March 2022, I started working with James Roguski, who lives in California, and a group of doctors and researchers from countries outside of the United States. And our goal was to create a series of educational webinars to educate people in the rural countrysides in Asia, Africa, India, and other countries about COVID and the COVID vaccine and the WHO and the United Nations. And as bad as censorship is here in the United States, it is worse outside of our borders. And sadly, many of these countries just follow the lead of the United States. So, you know, I've been doing that since March. I'm on a Zoom call every morning, 7 days a week, with these groups from outside of our country. And we organized and we've worked with many international groups to fight the amendments to the international health regulations back in May of 2022 that would have handed our sovereignty and the sovereignty of all member states over to the WHO. We won that battle, but now we're fighting the pandemic treaty, which was renamed as the convention, agreement, or other international instruments, or you can shorten that by just calling it the CAII. And if this passes, and I believe it will, the WHO will be the United Nations agency being used to carry out the agenda of the United Nations and the World Economic Forum, who are now partners. And the WHO will be able to call anything it wants a public health emergency of international concern. So I want you to think about things like climate change, transgenderism, leaves falling in the winter, you know, anything that they want to make a public health emergency of international concern, they can do it without our permission, without any discussion from the United States or any of the other member states. So this is very dangerous. So we have groups fighting this treaty, groups that are out looking to defund the WHO, the World Health Organization, and groups to get us out of the United Nations. The U.S. is already in a good position because we have legislation already written and sponsored. So what I'll be releasing on Wednesday is the start of that fight here in the United States. And we have two bills in Congress right now, H.R. 419, which is sponsored by Representative Chip Roy, and that bill will defund the World Health Organization. But I want people to understand that defunding the WHO does not mean we are out from under the agreements that we've made with the WHO. All it does is stop the funding. H.R. 7806, which is sponsored by Representative Mike Rogers, will remove the United States from the United Nations and all of its affiliated agencies, including the WHO, UNESCO, and many of the other affiliates, all the affiliate agencies. HR 7806 currently has just 4 co-sponsors, and there are 13 sections to the bill. And Sally, would you like me to cover some of the sections that this bill will take care of?
Yes, please do. I think people need to really understand what the impact is and understanding the whole role of the United Nations and everything that's going on. I mean, the COVID stuff, the World Economic Forum, the New World Order, the Great Reset, this stuff is all related, and we've really got to go to the root cause or the source, if you want to put it that way, to try to end this thing. We've got to cut it off at the knees, so to speak. So, yeah, some additional information would be
right. Yeah, and you know, I mean, H.R. 419, it's defunding. I mean, I do want people to know about it, and in the information that I'm going to release on Wednesday, you'll have a copy of that bill. But people need to understand that, you know, defunding, President Trump actually defunded the WHO, but we were never actually removed from the WHO because there is a process. You can defund the WHO tomorrow, but you cannot withdraw from the WHO. It takes 12 months to actually withdraw from the WHO, no longer being a member state of the WHO. So that's why I'm basically saying I think we should focus on HR 7806. I did contact, because you know, come January we'll have a new Congress, and with a new Congress all the old bills just go away. So I was assured by Representative Rogers' office in D.C. that he will be resubmitting this bill come January. It'll probably have a new number, but up until then, it'll be H.R. 7806, and when it changes, of course, you know, everybody, we'll make everybody aware of that. But some of the sections, some of the things that are going to be covered in this H.R. 7806, of course, Section 1 is just the title of the legislation. It is the American Sovereignty Restoration Act of 2022. Section number 2 is to repeal the United Nations Participation Act of 1945, and that's the act that actually formed the United Nations. Termination of membership in the UN and all affiliate agencies. Closure of the U.S. mission to the U.N. The mission to the U.N. is a group of people based in New York, and they basically assist the president and the Department of State in conducting U.S. policy at the U.N. So that's what the U.S. mission to the U.N. is, and it was formed in 1947. Repeal the UN headquarters agreement, so that's pretty much shutting down the building in New York. U.S. assessed and voluntary contributions to the United Nations and affiliate agencies, that's defunding the WHO and all affiliate organizations and the United Nations. Termination, no funds for the UN peacekeeping operations. No member of the U.S. military may serve under the command of the U.N., because that's one of the priorities of the U.N. is to have a one-world military ruled by the United Nations. Withdrawal of the U.N. presence in facilities of the government of the U.S. and repeal of diplomatic immunity. That's a biggie. Repeal UNESCO. Repeal of the UN Environment Program Participation Act of 1973, that's better known as, we call it UNEP, UNEP. Repeal of U.S. participation in the WHO, defund and end participation. Repeal of involvement in UN conventions and agreements. And reemployment with U.S. government employees after service with an international organization. Basically, we have people that, you know, are employed by this organization, and this would reemploy those people. And then the final two sections are notification. The Secretary of State will serve notice to the UN and the effective date is 2 years after the enactment of this act. So even once this gets passed, it's be 2 years before it's finalized. But my understanding is once it's passed, it's, you know, all participation pretty much ends at that point. So there are the 13 sections of the legislation, just a quick overview of each one of the sections. And what we did was on Wednesday, we're going to kick off our official campaign, and it's going to be found on Substack. It is a free site. I do not charge for my Substacks. And it's going to be called withdrawun.substack.com. And our priorities for right now, we need to get huge numbers of subscribers because numbers mean something to legislators. Whenever I would go in as the founder of a group like Tennessee Against Common Core, the first thing a legislator would say to me is, well, do you have a business card? And how many people are in your organization? So if you went in there and said, well, I have 10,000 members in my organization, they stood up and paid attention. But if you told them you had 100 members, you know, they pretty much were polite, but that's about all. Nothing ever happened. So it's very, very important to get as many people to register on that site as possible. And then our second priority is to get more co-sponsors. Right now, HR 7806 only has 4 co-sponsors. HR 419 has 61 co-sponsors. So the two goals are to build our numbers and to get more co-sponsors signed up. So I give you a lot of information. Then I give you a couple easy action steps to help us make those two priorities. And basically from now until November, there are two priorities: building the membership, getting co-sponsors to sign up, because the November election is going to have a big impact on what we do moving forward. If we have a Republican House and Senate after the election, it's going to be a lot easier for us to get this legislation passed. If we still have a Democrat House and Senate, or just one of the branches are Democrat, we're going to have to take a different tactic to get this legislation passed. But we're not going to give up on it. And that's why I think that the numbers are critically important. I mean, I'd love to see 100,000 people sign up between now and January, because those numbers will really make an impact on even some Democrat legislators. So that's pretty much an overview of what we're doing. Again, it's withdrawun.substack.com. And I hope that your audience will sign up and get all their friends and their groups and their church members and whoever to sign up and build our numbers.
Okay, well, that is very good information. I was just getting into the Substack thing today, so I'm getting out there, and I actually set up my, a Substack page myself, even though it's still a work in progress. So I'm going to have people start contacting me there as well. But this is good, and people need to it's all related. This is everything that's going on today is just all, as Karen shown, I'm sure she's going to chime in here in just a minute. We'll say it's all related, it's all connected. It's in, you know, the three of us. We've been talking about this for years. Agenda 21 stuff. It's truly nothing new, and people got to understand. We got to break the UN. You break the UN there. That's a major plus to getting rid of a lot of this insanity that's going on with the World Economic Forum and the One World Order and the Bill Gates, et cetera, et cetera. It's just so it's so important. People need to really appreciate what this is and start at one when they're talking to the candidates running for office to ask them about it and make sure they know about it, because even like the ESG thing, it's amazing how many of these candidates have no idea what ESG is. But they know what the United Nations is. They just don't truly appreciate what it does and what it's doing to us.
Well, I think the difference in what we're doing now is that this is global. In the past, when Ron Paul had legislation and, you know, other members of Congress have had legislation. It was pretty much an American thing. But this is now a global thing. We have many, many countries outside of the United States that want out of the United Nations. They want out of the WHO. So all of the things that we've been seeing in the past 2 years has opened up the eyes of many, many people. So this is global, and I think that's the difference. I think back in the Ron Paul days, the timing was not right. I believe the timing could not be any better than it is right now.
And it really is so true. The benefit or the beauty, of course, there are many things that we like about Trump as president, but he, along with the COVID, which I believe COVID was really pushed because he was there, have the silver lining has been the great awakening worldwide. Just like these farmers all over the world that are being told they can't grow this stuff. And it all ends up ultimately all tying together, and the UN is really the heart and soul, if you want to call it that, the grand central station of so much of this, of how they're managing to pull in so many countries. And the other countries, they're sick of it. We don't want to be part of it. We want to be our own country again. The United Nations was supposed to be a collaboration on very things that are really common and whatever, but it was never a good idea to begin with, I don't think. But the whole idea sounded good when they started it. But it's turned into a completely different monster that wants to control everything and wants, you know, one world order. We know China will never be part of it. Neither will Russia. So, but the rest of it, they want to convert us into the communist routine, whatever.
Right.
But it's all going to stop. It's just going to stop. Now, Karen Schoen is out there. And, Karen, would you like to chime in and ask some other questions or shed any light as well?
Well, thank you, Karen, and it's great to talk to you again, and you, of course, Sally. I agree with both of you. This is nothing other than the communists flexing their muscles and saying we're going to take over. And this is what we're going to do, and it's going to be funneled through the United Nations, and that's going to be the world government that will take care of everybody, blah, 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 and they're doing it. So I'm not surprised, but I think what Karen is doing is wonderful and certainly will help in any way possible. Getting the message out is the most important thing, folks. Communists hate it when people communicate, because you might have a difference of opinion. And if we recognize that there's more of us than them, as our dear friend Rita Holt, who recently passed away, used to say all the time, there's more of us than them. Why don't we act like it? Well, now maybe that is wonderful, Karen, because from what you're saying, this is going on worldwide. So people will see a different side, hopefully. Hopefully, and from a lot of indication in many of the European countries, their elections were turning more to the right, center-right, more like Hungary than they were becoming in cahoots with Russia, China. And, you know, the communist regime has taken over the United Nations. There is absolutely no reason for any free country to be part of this, because the communist Chinese and the communists and the Marxists and all of those guys all have one goal, and that's to have everything that you have. They want your stuff. They want you to be subservient. And, of course, as we have all learned, they want us to die. So getting out of the WHO will solve multi solutions for this problem, because we should never be beholden to people who want to kill us. Why would we want to be that way? Why would we want to answer to them? And the evidence was totally clear by what went on with the COVID and Karen Bracken's incredible journalism and knowledge of what was going on. So, folks, please read her Substack. And I'm going to do a Substack also. I have decided you guys twist my arm. I think that's good. But what people don't really think, people don't realize how bad this is. And if I could just give a little short story. Okay. My husband got sick. Okay, he's better. That has nothing to do with what I'm going to tell you. We went to the doctor's office. And instead of being serviced by a doctor, we were serviced by the nurse practitioner. Three separate doctor's offices. The sloppy quality of the work was incredible. However, the offices were diversified. I'm sure they were inclusive. And there was plenty of equity to go around. But this is the problem of what we are facing because we are now accepting mediocrity. And that's what communism is. Communism teaches to the lowest, to the lowest. That's where they want us all to be so we won't bother them and try to ask for anything. And this ESG is just another way, another mechanism to control. So it's like the thousandth cut in the death by a thousand cuts. Because now a corporation, no matter how big or small, in order to get a loan, in order to get any kind of service at all, in order to get a grant, in order to get a contract, in order to get anything, they will have to follow and comply with what have you done for the environment? How many points will you score? Where do you put your garbage? Do you recycle? Are you giving away the plastic straws? How many times do you eat meat? Et cetera, et cetera, well, et cetera. Nobody's business. And then...
Yeah, and Karen.
Yes.
Karen Schell. Or both of you, actually. And this is the key that the people need to understand when you go to the... why we're getting out of the UN. The UN was the heart and soul of Agenda 21, which was all about sustainability. It's all a program. How do we get people to comply and surrender their rights? And we're going to make it sustainability because we want a beautiful, clean world. What was that stupid thing that Nancy said over the weekend? Mother Earth? How can you vote against Mother Earth?
The ESG is basically the Chinese credit score for or social credit score for businesses, but eventually I mean, it pertains to business right now, but it's going to pertain to us eventually as well. So if you want to try and buy a car or get a loan for a house or go to a nice school or whatever, you're going to have a good ESG score as well.
Yes, and Biden just signed an executive order, bless his little heart. I think it was 14609, don't quote me on that. He just did it on Friday, so nice of him, or Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And this executive order digitalizes and spends grant money so that the digitalization of currency can fit with the government rules and regulations. And from this executive order, you can bet we will kiss the paper dollar goodbye. We will be given a card, and it will be digitalized, and they will be following ESG. Of course, they will call it social-emotional goody garbage, but they will be following the same thing, and what goes on in China will be going on in America. And that's what this election is about. But getting out of the UN, I believe, Karen, should be the first question that you ask a candidate. What will you do to get us out of the UN? Can I have your name on this paper that says I will be a sponsor to get America out of the UN if I am elected?
Yep.
We need to hold them to that because we don't. We ask wishy-washy questions and... Yes, I live in a rural county, and when we had our candidate forum, one out of, I think it was 23 candidates, one talked about issues. all of the rest of them talked about where they went to school and how long they lived in the panhandle and where they went to church and how they appreciated President Trump, and they were good conservatives, and they'll do a really good job. Thank you very much. That was about the right
thing. She is not exaggerating. We were both at that forum, and that was the most pathetic. It was actually two who actually talked with any real knowledge of what was going on, of what the issues were. And how many people know nothing about ESG, these candidates? So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it may not have been one, it may have been two, but it was such a minuscule amount that it was very sad to say these people are going to be running the government. What are they going to do? What would you do if you are a recipient of a grant and the grant said that in order for your county to get this grant, your office has to be diversified and you have to have X number of X number of X number and X number? You're not organizing your county for the best. You're organizing your county to be mediocre, because we are experiencing that right now. We are experiencing the death by affirmative action, because the people in our administration, look at them. These were supposed to be educated people. And the colonel of the the general of the Joint Chiefs of Staff writes a letter that a fourth grader would write a better letter? To resign from, with tears? Oh, give me a break. This is the military. But I believe, Karen, I think you're doing an incredible job, and that will be my first question. Whoever wins the primary next week, the 23rd, please, folks, take whoever you know, take a friend, but vote. Go and vote in the primary. You must vote.
Right.
It is so important. You must get involved. And then turn around to the candidates, both of them, as they're on stage, and they will be, and say, okay, who is going to sign for the to get out of the United Nations? Who is going to be a sponsor of that bill? And this way you will know in advance what you're dealing with.
Okay, well, I see John out there. I don't know if he has a question or a comment, but let me go ahead and get him in to see. I know, Karen, you got to drop off a little bit by 8 o'clock Eastern time, because you got another show to talk about this, I guess. So let me see if John has a question. I'm going to see if I can get the line open. And anybody else, go ahead and make sure you press 1 so we know you have a question. Yes, John, you there?
What are we talking about?
We're talking about getting out of the UN and, of course, the ESG. But getting out of the UN first was the first topic of the discussion. You had pressed 1 to speak on the air, so I thought you had a question or comment.
I got lots of them.
Well, we have to respond.
A little more reason
to get
like
started.
Something a little more recent, like the raid on Donald Trump.
Yeah, but that's we'll maybe talk about that a little bit later, but right now we're discussing the United Nations, and we started to get into the ESG, which is another topic for the show. Do you have anything specific about us getting out of the United Nations, or what's happening with the United Nations piece, or you want to wait and discuss some of this other stuff later?
It's an old subject.
Yeah, I think the President Trump thing is there's so much really up in the air right now that it's hard to really talk about it until we get some real factual details.
Yeah, I mean, anybody with a brain knows it's a scam. It's a game. Anything they can do to detract,
right.
They want to make sure he doesn't run again. And, you know, I could see it happening. I was kind of thinking about this, like, they're going to try to push him out. They're going to try to get him arrested. Whatever reason, they will do anything to stop him from running. I mean, that's what this is all about. But I could actually see it happening. It's like, well, you know what? I'm not going to run, but Donald Jr., Donald Trump Jr. is going to run. I see that happening. So they're going to have to get rid of a lot of Trumps in order to make that happen.
You know what I think would even be better than that, Sally? If we get a Republican House that they name Donald Trump as Speaker of the House, because you do not have to be an elected official to be Speaker of the House. I say nominate Donald Trump to be Speaker of the House and set the left's hair on fire.
Yep, I agree. We've been talking about that. I agree.
Yep. I've said all, ever since we first had this conversation about him being the Speaker, I said that he would be so effective there. He will never be as effective in that White House as he would be as Speaker, because he could control so much of what's on the table to be discussed and what's going to be voted on and everything else. He really could get
like
so much more done.
Like impeachment? Like impeachment? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Exactly. And defunding
the head of the
Go ahead.
Didn't you see him as head of the Oversight Committee? Whew, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Hey, now I got a text here real quick. Let me share this text real quick. I myself haven't heard this, but let's see. Biden has hired 25 CCP agents into the CIA, and this was, I guess, talking to Buxton. Buxton just told Duffy they have been in NWAAAY. Well, I'm not sure if that's a typo there. Been in way before, I guess they're trying to emphasize, then way before Biden was president. So, I mean, we've got the CCP in blended in with our CIA, so that was one thing. And then let's see, okay. And somebody else was just agreeing that we need to have, Trump needs to be Speaker of the House. But anyway, what about that with 25 CCP agents as part of our CIA?
Wow, I wouldn't doubt it at all.
No, I'm not surprised.
Go ahead.
They need to shut it down, and the president, I mean, Trump could have shut the CIA down himself. It didn't need Congress to shut the CIA down. But, you know.
Yeah, he could have done a lot. I think he had a lot of bad information headed up by Paul and a group of criminals, and there's nothing we can do about it right now. But you're right. He needs to clean house. And if he doesn't do that, then he's screwed.
Yeah, he's too trusting, and I think being a businessman, he was used to the fact that as being the boss of a company, when he told people to do something, they did it. And I think he thought it was going to be the same way when he became president. And people like Dr. Paul Alexander, who was brought into the COVID team by President Trump, you know, I mean, he has testified and said and written many times how basically the people in the health agencies just laughed at Trump, told him you don't have to listen to him, we don't listen to him. And then you've got Dr. Birx, who outright came out and said that they lied and deceived the president of the United States. I mean, she openly admitted it.
She admitted that today.
It's in her book. It was in her book. She admitted that they lied and deceived, that they fudged the data, and they lied to basically push their agenda. They knew that there was she also said that they knew that the vaccine was not effective. I mean, these are her own words. She knew that it wasn't going to be a two-week lockdown. This was all, you know, deception that they used to get, you know, Trump to do what they wanted him to do. And there was just a whole lot of lying and a whole lot of deception going on in that presidency.
There's been no charges, nothing. No accountability, no response. Yeah, go ahead, Karen.
That's confusing.
Well, the thing is, why hasn't why hasn't Rand Paul brought her up to the Senate and investigated her for these statements? Some of them she made live during interviews and then in her book. She wrote all about this. And it's like, so why is no one, you know, calling her up?
That's a really good question. But didn't they do the same thing? This is Dr. Birx.
Dr. Birx, who was on the team with Dr. Fauci, was on the COVID team. He asked who were we talking about. He was one of the ones that said
you can't have hydroxy and laughed at it.
Yep.
And said how
Trump did. Right.
So Trump wouldn't have a win with hydroxy?
Well, Trump ordered Peter Navarro, to order HCQ for the public, which he did. And the CDC and the FDA said, yeah, right. Okay.
Well, they couldn't do their vaccine if they had a solution. The FDA regs, they cannot do an emergency use authorization vaccine, which is what they were doing, if there were known therapies.
Right.
There were known therapies. There were known cures. There was no reason to do this. But that's the question that has to go back to Trump. Now, he still needs to answer that question. Were you that naive, or were you playing to the hands of Big Pharma and the FDA because you wanted to flex your muscles and say, warp speed, I got this done, even though it's going to kill people, at least I can say I got it done. I mean, we know the task force didn't tell him the truth and all that kind of stuff. The games are, but Scott Atlas was telling him the truth. There were those telling him the truth. But he kept just going along. I don't know. He really has some explaining to do when it comes to some of the things he did. He can only say he was naive for a certain point. To a certain point, he's not a medical doctor or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But he was out there promoting hydroxychloroquine, and then all of a sudden he stopped. They told him to shut up. Apparently, that's what it looks like to me. Told him to shut up. Did they tell him why? Did they tell him if you want that vaccine out there, you better stop talking about this stuff because we can't do the emergency vaccine like you want. You want to prove you can get past all the red tape. Well, yeah, you helped create a bioweapon to kill people. Are you proud of that? Because that's what you did.
Right. And you're right. If you notice, though, in the last few speeches he's given, he doesn't mention warp speed and the vaccines anymore. Every one of the rallies, he was always bringing up warp speed and the vaccine. If you watch the last few rallies, never mentioned warp speed, never mentioned the vaccines.
Alaska was the biggie when he so many people jumped on his case. The nerve to go out there and say, I'm not allowed to talk about my best success. So he could, I'm saying to myself, if you think warp speed was your best success, your success story of wonder, then and I'm jokingly, whatever you want to call it, you got to be stupid. If you're stupid, if you think that was the best deal, I mean, hey, Trump, with all the other good things you've done, how can you be this stupid about COVID? Or how egotistical, because you thought you could bypass all the rules. Well, yeah, you bypassed the rules, and here's what you got. They got exactly what they wanted because they knew how to set you up because you were going to be determined to show you could beat the system, you could work around it, you could get anything done, blah, blah, blah. And what you did, Trump, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, what you did helped kill people, period.
That's right. You're right.
Anyway, with that being said.
There's a lot.
Thank you. Got to thank him for the question. He got us on a roll.
John is still there listening. Are we ready to get into the ESG thing? Are we ready to move into that topic now? Okay, now just I put a link out there for those who know nothing about ESG, environmental, social, and governance. I put a link there to a site that's got a lot of good information to help you really understand and appreciate how they're using this to control everything we do. And I think it was Karen Bracken was saying, you know, they're starting with a corporation. In fact, I think both said they're starting with a corporation. And that's true. And you got to understand what that's doing at a corporate level to begin with, and then it will gradually go into the private sector where, you know, they're not going to give you funding if you don't have the right diversity on your board. How many men, women, transgenders, and lesbians, and then some black and some white and some yellows and, you know, all this insanity. is what they're going to look at before they're going to give money to give any kind of loan, financing, to a corporation. What is the suit of the farmers who need money for the crop to get started and whatever else, so the, you know, how they're blocking that stuff. And the same with the energy, with fossil fuels and, you know, oh, they can go out there and drill. Well, they can't get any money now because of these stupid rules that are out there. And what was the other one on that? They, well, there's a lot of states. The other part is that's critical is there's a lot of states out there that are starting to realize what this really is. And this is where if everybody gets out there, once again, talk to these candidates. I don't know. I know it's going to be at least 50%. Karen, you can probably tell me higher. At least 50% of these people running for office have no clue what ESG is. When you say that to them, they just have the deer in the headlights. They don't know what this is.
I think it's higher than that.
Yeah.
I think they know about the concept. If you were to explain the concept, do you know what ESG stands for? Do you know what it is? Do you know what the details? You know, it's just like this fossil fuel thing. And I always tell people, the issue is never the issue. The issue is not abortion. The issue is desensitizing a population to the sanctity of life so that they will accept the depopulation that's coming. Oh, for it's for the greater good. The war against fossil fuels is not a war against fossil fuels. It is a war against mobility. So, you know, you have to learn to look beyond what they're saying to you and find out what's really behind their agendas, because whatever they say to you is not what the real agenda is. And I've given you two examples of how the issue is never the issue.
Absolutely.
The thing that also people don't understand is that if this is happening, okay, they lied about in the CDC. Do you think that that's the only agency that lied?
Mm-hmm.
What about the military? They told them they were withdrawing troops from Syria. They never took troops out of Syria. They lied. So you have to also understand the depth of all of this. If you know the plan, which we do now, we should know it cold. They will create a problem, a crisis, a red flag or whatever. They will create a something. Let it fester until the people say, oh, government, help us, help us. That's what they're looking for. So they are now at the, oh, government, help us stage. And I'm thinking, okay, remember, what did they do? They have been depleting the police and depleting the military. What are the people saying? Fund the police. Get more police. We need more police. Think, who's coming in over the border? Men of military age, not families, single men with military experience. What do we not have? A strong military. We're losing so many people. And a strong National Guard, strong. And every agency we are now finding, every agency is armed to the teeth. Who is the IRS going to go in their latest maneuver to apply? When you apply for an IRS job, you have to be able to handle a firearm and be able to use it. What is an IRS agent going to need a firearm for? To go and collect somebody's taxes?
And
folks, and for those
don't
of you
forget,
who say, I have a gun.
Don't forget, though.
Yes, you have a gun. How nice. Do you think your gun would have done anything for the crowd that was in front of Mar-a-Lago or Trump's or Roger Stone's house? Do you think your gun would have made a difference? No, the time to have the gun is when you don't have to use it now. We need you to do it now. We need to push our people now, get the right people in office, and try these people for treason.
Any American that signs up for one of these 87,000 IRS jobs, I hope they can look their children in the face one day when this country has, you know, has totally collapsed and they were a part of it. Any American that takes one of those jobs is a traitor in my eyes.
Yep, I agree.
I agree with you, but they'll take it. And if they don't, they have plenty of recruits. They just recruited, 3 million people? Who have handouts and want a job. And the sad part is these people don't speak English, and they don't give a crap about Americans. So if the IRS says you go to Karen Bracken's house and tell her she owes $50,000, and if she doesn't give it to you immediately, throw her out of her house, do you think they're not going to do that?
Sure they will.
Of course they're going to do it. So people, please think. If they decide, like they did in China, to roll a tank down the street, what do you think your handgun is going to do? We got to pay attention to what they are doing and where they are doing it. And then act. And if we don't get the right people in office, we are screwed.
Okay. Now, I know Karen Bracken, I know you've only got a couple more minutes here left. I want to make sure you give. You want to do a quick rundown of how people can contact you, and just a very one last run on that one, and any last comments you want to have on this topic.
I have a personal Substack, KarenBracken.substack.com, and I put out a daily Substack 7 days a week. But for this initiative, very important to get the United States out of the United Nations. The Substack is withdrawun.substack.com, and just get as many people as you possibly can to sign up. We have to build the numbers so that our legislators will see that the American public is serious. And there are some action items. I'm going to be releasing all the information. Sign up now. You can sign up now. It's an active site. But I'll be releasing all the information Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. It will hit your email.
Okay. Excellent information there. And the thing that Karen was just talking about, Karen Schoen was just talking about, here's my question, and then, you know, again, I know you're going to have to drop off. But,
okay, thank you.
We elect all these Republicans. Okay, fine. The Republicans, to me, one of the first things they should be doing, there's obviously several, it's obvious, you know, taking care of the immigration, knocking down some of these crazy executive orders that Biden has done. But right off the very top, which to me looks like a no-brainer, but then again, we're talking about the Republicans, to go out there and defund this IRS. There's other ways they can do something about it. The question is, do you think they will? And what happens, more importantly, and this kind of goes back to what Karen Schoen was just saying, if we get this wonderful Congress out there, all these GOPers out there, they don't do anything, which is what many of us are afraid of, and this IRS stuff starts really coming to life, they've gotten all these people out there and ready to go, what do we really do? What is the individual are we going to do when the IRS comes knocking on your door and starts all this insanity? How do we make a difference in this? Talking to these Republicans, hopefully that's going to be some miracle cure, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that either. So Karen Bracken first, and then we'll go to Karen Schoen. Karen Bracken, are you still there?
Yeah, what was the question again? I'm sorry.
If we go to we have the GOP out there in 2023. I'm saying one of the first things that GOP should be doing is defunding the IRS and shutting down all these 87,000 crazy age and all this insanity what they're doing with the IRS to take everybody's property away and be a police force kind of thing. If Congress doesn't act, if our wonderful Republicans don't do anything, what can the people really do? What are we supposed to do as the American people?
Well, the only thing you can do if your elected officials refuse to do, you know, the people need to stand up, stop paying your taxes. You know, I mean, we have to start taking back our government, our freedom, our country. And I've been saying this since the beginning of the COVID mess, scandemic, is, you know, people need to stand up and absolutely refuse to comply. I have been pushing, telling people on my daily Substack, start using cash, stop using credit cards, get out of the banks, get into a credit union, prepare, get some food saved up, some water saved up, have cash on hand, you know, have an alternative plan. But, you know, people have to prepare and take care of themselves at this point. When our elected officials don't do as we, their employers, ask them to do, and like with this thing that I'm doing with getting out of the UN, we're not asking you to get us out of the UN. We're not asking you to support this legislation. We are demanding that you support this legislation and get the United States out of the United Nations. We have to get up off our knees. We have to stop begging. And when they don't do what, you know, when I was fighting the education issue, people would come and complain, oh, they're teaching my kids this. I said, you know what? Organize your school. Organize your parents and walk the freak out of the school. Pull your kids out of the school. Teachers, walk out of the school. I guarantee you in 3 days they'll be begging you to come back and they'll do whatever you want to get your kids back, their butts back in those seats. Or guess what? The school gets defunded and it gets closed down. You know, it's time we started standing up and refusing to comply with these things, like the masks. All these people that walked around with a freaking mask on their face, and if you read the side of the box, it says right on there that they don't stop a virus or influenza. And people are walking around even today with masks on their face. You have to stop this. You have to stop it. Stop complying.
Stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
Hey, you know what? I didn't wear a mask, you know, and many times I've gone into doctor's office, well, you have to have a mask on. I said, really? Where's the law? Well, and guess what? Well, if you don't wear a mask, you won't be able to see your doctor. Oh, really? Okay. And I sat down. Guess what? I walked in. I saw the doctor. I got treated, and I walked out. You'd be surprised how you can stand up and refuse to comply and just as cowardly as they are to try to make you wear a mask, they're just as cowardly to try and enforce it. You know, people have to stand up. Do not close your businesses down. Do not wear a mask. Do not send your children to public school where they're indoctrinated and have their minds poisoned against their family and their country. You know, it's just time that we stood up and stopped complying. You know, hey, what would they do if we all stopped paying our taxes? I guess they could just print more money, but oh well.
That's what they're doing now anyway, right?
Yeah, that's right. We don't have any money. They're just printing it and printing it. So, you know, I mean, and it might sound a little radical, but you have to stop depending on the very people that are trying to destroy us to help us. They're not here to help us. Now, we have a whole bunch of new legislators that are getting elected in the primaries. I don't know that they're going to ever make it through in the general election, because I believe the general election is going to be stolen, but that's a whole other story. But we have a bunch of new candidates. It is our job to make sure they do what they promise to do, be on the phone, constantly be on top of them. You said you were going to do this. When are you going to do it? Why haven't you done it? We have to start badgering these people to make them stand by the promises that they made during their campaigns in the year of 2022. What happens is we elect them, and then we go back to sleep, and we forget about them. And when they don't do as we're told, we whine and cry and post on Facebook and post on Twitter. We should be calling their office, staying on top of what they're doing, and when they're not doing what they promised, we need to badger the heck out of them.
Agreed. Totally. We cannot let them rest. We need to be the biggest PIAs that we can possibly be, And, you know, if you get
That's
a chance
right.
to get a few people, go down there and just have a small sign-waving type protest at one of their offices to say, liar, liar,
right.
or whatever. But, you know,
absolutely.
And make sure they see we're going to call it out. We have to call
That's
it out
right.
on them. And
yep.
Peacefully. You know, if you go out there and do the crazy stuff, what was this guy trying to do
no.
something at the FBI building? Or none of that insanity. We have to let our presence known. We have to let our voices be heard. There is power in numbers. If everybody that would agree, and I mean, I said this, in fact, I was talking about this on one of the other shows last week, if everybody who agrees with what we're saying here would just stop working, shut down this whole country. That's the other thing the Republicans should be doing on day one is go ahead and shut down this government, defund the government, shut it down. And, you know, some
mm-hmm.
people, oh, my God, you can't do that. The essential services like the military would still be there. That kind of stuff would still be there. Shut down the rest of it, defund the rest of it, and get the budget under control. This is what they need to do if we can find people that truly have the courage. I know there's a handful of them that would do it, but do we have enough? But we need to be the ones
right.
demanding shut down this government. We are the ones that have to do it. And Karen Schoen, what would you like to add on that? I see looks like Nathan's out there, but we'll get to you in a minute, Nathan. But Karen Schoen, anything you want to add to it? Well, Karen, are you still there? Whoop, looks like Karen Brackenhead just dropped. Mm-hmm. Karen Brackenhead just
yeah.
dropped. Karen Schoen. Now we only
okay.
have one Karen on.
Now we only have one Karen. Okay. Oh, it's good talking to her. And she's right. But it goes further than that. You have to recognize who the enemy is. The people who
yes.
are against us, even when we look at them, they're not Americans. They're not our friends. And they have no desire to make life beneficial for us. All they care about is themselves. And all they care about, as we said before, is money, power, and control. And as I say all the time, everything is connected. Nothing is random. Everything has a plan, and all plans are based on lies. So that is their plan to control us. This is what they not intend to do, have been doing. So what can we do? Well, how many of you look at the food that you buy and make sure that it's from the USA or the other products? Or stop going to Walmart, for example, or some of the stores. Look at the stores. See who and what they're saying, et cetera, et cetera. Look at Bed Bath & Beyond. It's falling apart. And it's not falling apart just because of inflation. It's falling apart because after they dumped Lindell, they lost their customers. Hello,
yep.
Boycotts work. Why do they tell us boycotts don't work? Because boycotts work. So we have to do that. When the truckers went through their problem in Canada and TD Bank did what they did, I closed my TD Bank account. Why would I want to put my bank in a bank that could steal my money if they don't like my politics? And don't think that's only in Canada, because these people are all working together, and that's what ESG is all about. ESG, as Karen said, has nothing to do with environment and social credit, social justice and governance. It has nothing to do with that, and we'll go through that in a minute, because all of those programs are wrong. Has nothing to do with that. It's a way to control the people. Oh, your ESG score isn't high enough. Sorry, when you put your card in to get hot water, you don't have any. Well, that can't happen to me, Karen. Oh, excuse me, folks. Do you have a smart meter on your house? It most certainly can. Not only that, all of you smart people that went out and bought smart appliances, your appliances interact with your smart meter. So, Miss Sally, if you're doing your laundry at the wrong time, guess what Mr. Government can do? I can shut you up. So the way that works is the government, whose partner is the electric companies, with power companies, the government says, let's have a regulation. We don't want people to do their laundry after 8 o'clock at night. But we only want them to do their laundry from 8 to 2 in the morning. Huh? But I work those hours. How can I do that? Too bad. You lose. And what does the power company do? Click. End of story.
Right.
This is the way this works. And they're not playing.
And so many people don't want to believe it. They just say they're not going to believe it's real until it happens to them. And then it's too late. It's like, you got to stop it now, people. You can't wait. You can't go and wait till it happens to try to undo it. You better stop it. I mean, it's already out there, little by little, getting into everything. It's just, at what point, how much pain do you have to have before you stand up and defend yourself and get and actually take action? And then it's going to be too late. You have to do it now. This is nothing new. How many years have we been talking about this stuff? It's nothing new. So please, people, wake up.
I have to tell you, though, I'm very proud of our military, because these people stuck to their convictions. They did not get vaccinated because either it was against their religion or they read what was in the vaccine and made a very smart decision. And now we don't have a military. Sad as that. But I applaud the people for sticking to their convictions. That's what we have to do. And as Karen Bracken also said, and I agree with this one strongly, make your legislator your friend. Put his number, her number on your speed dial and tell them you're putting it on theirs. Now, you may not get through to the governor, but you certainly will reach his chief of staff. And this is one of the powers of joining in Florida, the Florida Citizens Alliance, because when you talk to your legislator, you get to say, my name is Karen Schoen, and I'm with the Florida Citizens Alliance that has over 100,000 members. And they go, okay, well, let us hear you.
Yeah, you got to do something to get their attention. Individually, I mean, even if you're not engaged with another group such as that, you still need to speak up. You still can't just sit there and do nothing. You've got to voice your opinion and let them know that you're outraged by what they're doing, that you're not going to vote for them again if we actually get to survive to have another election, and all this other stuff. But truthfully, if you're working with other groups, there is power in numbers. We have got to... once the Republicans take over, again, assuming this is what's going to happen, I'm not assuming much of anything, but assuming that's going to happen, why don't we have another rally on the mall where we do it the way it's supposed to be done? Don't do stupid things like go into the Capitol building when they lure you into it, and have a real protest down there. This is how many people are fed up with this. But don't fall for the traps. This is the same thing they're doing with some of this other nonsense right now, with the Trump FBI raid and all this stuff. They're trying to ignite some kind of disruption. They think the Republicans are going to go do the George Floyd thing and start burning down buildings in the streets and all this other insanity.
Right.
And the Republican Party in general. Most Americans in general don't do that. Those are people that were really part of the far left radical groups that were doing that stuff. But they want to ignite something. They want to be able to say, see what they're doing? See what they're doing? We can't fall into their trap. And we, at the same time, we have to peacefully protest and don't do stupid things like go into the Capitol, even though the cops were there inviting you in. Because that is all part of their scam. It's all part of the game that they're playing. They will do anything. They have no conscience. They have no ethics or integrity. They have no soul. These people, they don't care. They truly don't care.
No.
So we have to do it on the other side. Yeah, it is.
That's
so,
it. You hit
anyway.
The nail on the head. They don't care. That's it.
They don't. I mean,
that's one of the hardest things for many humans to recognize, that there are people that really don't care. Because if you're a caring person, it's hard for you to think that there are others that, oh, you know, the poor kid got a bad mark or whatever, or fell or something like that. These people don't care. If it doesn't affect them directly, they don't care. And what they tell you to do, they have no intention of doing because it will disrupt their lifestyle.
And their goal is just to stay in power and do whatever they think they can do and all this other insanity. And, again, we're a little bit off the top. I mean, it's all related to ESG and what it's doing and what they're using ESG to be done. And how, again, people, this ESG is going to impact your food supply. Understand that. You've got to understand what they're doing now is going to do this. The good part, which we'll talk about in a minute, is that I think we're up to like 20-something states are enacting ways to push out ESG. They won't participate. They won't use the funding for any organization or bank that uses the ESG stuff for their pension plans, get BlackRock out of there, and there's that new group Strive. So we'll dive into that, but Nathan's been waiting here for a few minutes, so I better let Nathan get on there, and we'll see. And now, we already know that Nathan doesn't like the Republican Party, which I don't particularly like him either. But Nathan, what would you like to share tonight?
Well, I had one question, but sitting here listening to you, I got several now, but I'll only ask a couple, make a comment maybe. On all the Republicans, I didn't catch the other lady's name, but when she was rattling off, and I agree with everything she said, like we need to get out of the union, the United Nations, you know, it was the Republicans' policy, not the Democrats, and they'll celebrate it, but it's not the Democrats' policy that got us in to the United Nations. Okay? You mentioned that one deal, Karen, about, you know, I can call my legislature and let them know I'm a part of this ABC group, and we got 20 million people, so he's going to listen to me. No, he's going to talk to the guy at the top, the people that run it, and they're going to negotiate it, and they're going to say what we need to hear.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. It depends. I had never had that problem, and I go and speak to a lot of legislators. And now the good part is a lot of them know me. That's what you want to do. You want to network with them. And you're not going to, you may not get to them first. You may have to work with their chief of staff, but that's okay. Because you want to get them to know you so that when you call them, they will accept your call. And if you start out by saying you're with a group and that's how you got to them, they do listen a little bit more than they would singularly, but they listen to all. The problem with us is that we don't follow up, like Sally said. We go there. And we may walk around and talk to the legislators, and maybe we'll drop off our cards or we'll give them a piece of something. But we never follow up to see, did you read it? Did you understand it? Is there anything I can help you with? Or what are you, you know, what legislation can you think of? Blah, blah, blah. We don't do that. And we have
to. Here's what I'm noticing that's happening and that's happened for many, many years in our culture. It's all about if I'm going to do something, I have to be a part of a group to be effective. And the people at the top of the group, they're the ones with the vision. Like I remember I give a good example of the Republican Party of Brevard County several years ago, back during the Tea Party years, said they were going to come up with 12 issues, and the candidate has to agree, be committed to at least eight of those 12. I called the lady up and I said, ma'am, you pick any 12 people, put them in a room and give them the room, the freedom to disagree on four of those 12 issues. Guess what? We can take the group into a direction that the majority of the group disagrees with. Reagan said, you know, if I can agree with my opponent, disagree with them 20%, we can get along on the 80%. That 80% gives us enough to manage taking the whole group in another direction. So I say, this is what I say, this is just me. This is when I figure out where I stand on an issue, doesn't mean I'm right, But when I figure out where I stand on an issue, I stand by it. I stand by it with resolve, and I don't compromise it to be a part of the numbers that's going to help this guy live. Because at the end of the day, I got to live not with a pinky promise, but my oath to the U.S. Constitution, and I got to live what it is I've decided is right. And you can't get that. But let me. I'll close with one thing where I'm saying I do work. I read a book. I read several books learning about the Great Depression. Wanted because I grew up hearing about it, and I read is actually about 13 books. But I read one book by T.H. Watkins called The Hungry Years. That was the book that gave me a clearer vision on understanding on many different aspects of the Great Depression. But he ended the book with saying that when he was a little boy, he just a little kid, wasn't even going to school yet. His mom was watching TV, and then she was watching, listening to the radio, and then she got, something happened. He could tell something was wrong. She got up, went over, cut the radio off, and said, "Come on, let's go in your room." She took his box of toys, turned it out upside down, poured it out, said, "Okay, when I give you a toy, you either put it in the box or on the sheet." And she would look at the bottom and say, "Okay, on the sheet, on the sheet." And whenever she got done, she grabbed a sheet full of clothes of toys, went out in the front yard, piled them up, poured some gas on them, and burned them. Years later, he asked his mom, "What was that about?" "I just heard on the news that we got bombed in Pearl Harbor." "Okay, now listen." The very next day, we didn't have any tea parties, neighbors talking across the fence, calling radio shows. The next day, across the country, the Army recruiting stations had men standing in line, and a lot of them 15 and 16 lines, saying they're 18, and they were lined so far up they had to bring police in to direct traffic around them. They had to close streets. Guess what? They did that without any organization. It was who the people as a whole was in this country. If we got to get everybody organized, guess what? That tells us something about us.
Yeah, well, I can understand a certain amount of the frustration there, but we have gone through a major, major culture change. The technology, the culture, including the technology, the way we communicate, the way they have successfully dumbed down people. They don't teach people any kind of loyalty to this country. So you got to factor in all the other conditions that have changed.
You know, Sally, back. Sally, I remember this. You remember this, Karen. After Obama got elected, you were on Andrea Shea King's show, and you were giving your spiel, and I was sitting there just at your feet learning. And was really impressed with it. And then she asked you, "How long does it take to turn it around?" And you said 4 years, because the next voting age is in high school now. The next 4 years, when they graduate, that'll be another election that puts more people out there. And these people will be coming up under Obama's policies. And that is where it can turn around. Guess what? That's whenever we started seeing getting marijuana on the budget, on the ballot. All that stuff happened. And, you were right. You were right. It took 4 years. So I don't think it's going to take 4 years now. It's going to be a lot longer than that. And I don't know what the answer is, but I do know this much. A politician, and I don't mess with Democrats, but a Republican can tell me why I need to vote for him, and then he doesn't do it, and then everybody's against me because they're getting their news from talk radio, or I'm getting my news from their vote record. We know the Republicans got elected in 2012 because we lost in 2010. We lost to Obama on Obamacare. And then so the Republicans are saying we got to get a majority in the Senate so we can stop it, because that's where it becomes law. Gave them a majority. I think they had, I don't remember if it was a 5 or 6 or 7-man majority.
Yep.
And they had a 21-hour, 19-minute fake filibuster, and right after their all-night talk-a-thon, guess what? They voted 100-0 for it. I got a copy of that. I got a copy of Marco Rubio's abortion policy in 2013 and 2015. But in this year, what he's saying is any company that wants to pay for an abortion and travel a person to an abortion, a place where they can get abortion, we need to make a law against that. What's going on? I've heard him say we need a balanced budget amendment in the Constitution. And you know what? I've counted five of them. I've got five of them highlighted in orange magic marker. There might be another one, and when I find it, I'll get my marker out. Okay, now, why is it I got to keep voting for this guy because he's better than his opponent, Val Demings? I know what Val Demings, she tells me what she believes. Rubio's telling
okay,
me
now,
what
we're getting
I,
off, okay,
I
now, Nathan,
same
you're carrying on. We're getting off into this other stuff.
I ask a question. Well, who do I vote for?
Well, and we had this discussion. I don't want to go back into the big thing. Val Demings.
But you can't answer who I'm supposed to vote for. You can't answer who I'm supposed to vote for, but we got to get
I'm not supposed to tell you. I'm not your conscience, so you need to go and do your own research and make your own decision. Now,
I did
myself,
my research.
There is absolutely, I'm not going to go into this all again tonight. That's not our topic. Val Demings is not our topic for tonight. The point is, know who these people are, and then you have to make the best decision you can make. As I said before, and this is going to be the last of it, Val Demings, she voted to impeach Trump, and it was all a hoax. Why would I ever vote
and
for
did you
her?
Hear what Rubio
I may vote
said.
For
did
nobody.
Did you hear what Rubio said?
I may vote for
but
nobody.
But did you hear what Rubio said right
nobody.
Before the vote?
I don't
want to
go into all
the
that.
Vote,
Nathan,
Rubio
come on.
Said.
Nathan,
Rubio
stop.
Said, I know what the president
no.
did, but I can't
Nathan,
vote for impeachment.
Don't make me. When we talk
make
about
Val
Rubio,
look better
we'll
than Rubio.
Whatever. You know, I'm not going into it. We're talking about ESG. And what we need to do to stop this, because the ESG is a major thing that's going to stop it. We don't even get any food, and everything else is going to crumble around it. And I'm sure Val Demings is supporting of ESG, so if you like ESG, vote for Val Demings, okay? If that makes you happy. If voting for somebody who voted knowingly to impeach Trump is a hoax, well, then fine. Don't vote for either one of them. That's fine. A no vote
you're
is a vote
of opposition.
You're not
giving me much of an option here, though. You're not giving me any
well,
choices. But anyway, I'm going to hang up and keep listening.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Nathan. when we get into the discussion about the specifics on the elections, we'll get into some of this more detail. But, I mean, the fact is you got to make your own decision. And the fact is you can either vote for the lesser of two evils or not vote at all. Those are your choices, the lesser of two evils. How many times do you get to vote for who you want, who you like, who you believe in, versus the lesser of two evils? And I voted third party many times because I didn't like either of the two, the Republicans and Democrats, and people would complain. I don't care. I'm not going to go that way. Anyway, Karen, you can go ahead and comment, and then we have another caller.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that on voting, since Obama, I have a different rule. I will not vote for a Democrat because they are evil, so I can't vote for anybody that's evil. And when I look at, I'm talking not in a primary, I'm talking in a general. When I look at the Republican versus the Democrat, if it's a rhino, I'm figuring if I can count on them 50% of the time, then that's better than nothing. And unfortunately, you have to know the timing of what we live in, and that is unfortunately what we live in, and that's the way the rhinos are. And until we can get rid of all of them, which is a pipe dream, because they will always be there. Let's face it, folks, evil is always going to be there. It's the way you handle it that gets things turned around. If you want the truth to come out, you got to be the purveyor of the truth. And that's why people are even saying they'd rather have Trump back with his nasty tweets because at least he tells them the truth. And this is what we have to rely on. So as far as Rubio goes, I know he's a liar. I know all the things that he's done. I know that he's turned around on a few things. And if he's the choice against Val Demings, I know what she is. She's a communist. Can't vote for a communist. So I will vote for Rubio because he did vote at least 50% of the time with Trump and against what the Democrats are trying to do. He didn't vote with the Democrats. So I cannot vote for anybody that votes with the Democrats.
Okay, and with that being said, the other caller. Amen. Agreed. Okay, the caller, 7236, can we get your first name, please?
All right, this is Joe Gibson. How you doing?
Hey, Joe, I wasn't sure if that was you or not.
I wasn't sure what the topic. I'm all thrown off now what the topic is, basically.
Well, as usual, unfortunately, I need to work on my skills to keep things focused a little bit better because one thing does lead to another. We talked about getting out of the United Nations to begin with. It was an announcement. Karen Bracken was on speaking about that earlier, and there's some efforts out there. If you look at the show page, you'll see the link and stuff to help start moving, helping us work with other nations around the world to get a group of us out of the United Nations. So that was a big part in the very beginning. Then we moved on to the ESG stuff, and people need to understand what this ESG is really doing. And that we have, right now, we are actually, this is where we can show we can change things, because right now there's somewhere 20-something states who are out there actively putting legislation together to block ESG in their states. They won't put their pension money into the banks that do this stuff. And ESG, the environmental, social, and governance garbage, is nothing but controlling the people, and it's going to hurt the farming industry. It's going to hurt businesses across the board.
Every industry.
They're starting with the businesses. Yeah, every industry. They're going to go after the businesses first, shut them down, basically, and stop the fossil fuels, et cetera, et cetera. And then they're going to come after us doing the same thing. And if you don't eat the right kind of produce or you've eaten too much today, no, you can't buy so much candy. The way they're going to monitor and track everything we do, it's so un-American. It's so anti-liberty and freedom. And
I agree. It's one step away from that. You're absolutely yeah. And they're going to track us. And I think once they do this reset, this economic crash, or they try to really, you see what they're doing. I mean, just look at what happened with Trump with the raid. They're using the government's FBI. You know, the FBI, the secret police there now. That's what they're called, the secret police. And Or the second phase of the KGB, or brown shirts, whatever you want to call them. But the fact of the matter is, we're not. We have to get back to basically. Well, first of all, you have to control the money. The money is hijacked by a foreign banking cartel. The Federal Reserve owns everything, the central bankers. And if we have a corrupt monetary system, and for the love of money is the root of all evil, and we all love money. And how can we ever have honest politicians or honest leaders, and how can we be honest as a society or country? So we're going to be controlled. Now, are there good people out there that stand up against evil? Sure, that's what we're doing here, right? We're trying to speak against evil and bad things. But until we restore our lawful government somehow, some way, and bring back some sort of lawful, de jure, honest form of government, and then and get the people all in masses up behind us, and iron out the kinks and the wrinkles that we discovered last week on the podcast. When we're bringing more people to the table, yeah, those things that you're talking about, getting out of the United Nations, that will be an automatic. They'll be friends with all, alliances with none, like George Washington said. You know, the United Nations, that thing will be automatic. The ESG and everything control. Yeah, all that stuff, that's all part of the New World Order, like you said, and it's to control us. But we have to go back to – we have to get back to, minimizing government, and understanding how we got to this place, too, in history, and true history. It's not taught anymore. So do we have time to go back and re-educate the masses? And I thought that's what we've been doing for the last 20 years, and with the Internet and everything, all of us have been out there outspoken. It's not working too well, is it? So
Well, when it comes to that, we got to realize that the other side's been using the same technology to brainwash. I mean, 20 years ago, I wasn't watching being any aware of drag queens and toddlers and all this other insanity. So they've been using the same technology against us. Only they've been smarter, and unfortunately they've been smarter and more evil, more devious. you know, the something about evilness and the George Soros and Bill Gates mentality, whatever. These people, they have lots of money. They will do whatever it takes. They don't care. They don't have a conscience. So they will do it, and then you're fighting the masses who are out there working every day trying to survive and who don't have that kind of money. And, of course, that's
don't
why
have time.
It's such a force. Well, and because we've allowed it to get so out of control, the government has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And now try to go find what's actually what kind of legislation is pending at your local level, at your county, at your local city level, even your school board. Then try to find out what's going on in your state house, your state senate, and all that stuff. And then try to find out what's going on at the federal level. It's such a mess. I mean, if you have to work for a living, you truly don't have time. And at one point, which really was never true, but at one point, the news media actually had some kind of ethics and integrity, which they have none now. I don't know that they ever had too much. I know Jefferson didn't care for them too much in the past. But there used to be, technically are regs out there. If anybody was a good lawyer who knew how to do it, the reg is out there for the FTC. The to be qualified as a news agency, reporting, whatever, a news station, they have to serve the public good. That is actually part of it out there. And I think it's 933, Reg FCC 933, I think. I'd have to go look it up. And if lying to the public is not in the public good. What they did with COVID, they were the media was the virus. It's not, they were not working in the interest of the people. So, again, this is how some of this happened. But a lot of it, people, watching a Super Bowl is so much more fun than studying the Constitution and figuring out what these morons are doing for us. Let's face it, a Super Bowl could be more fun. So it's easy. Occupy the idiots. Same thing as what happened in the Coliseum years ago. Occupy the idiots. Get them drunk while we destroy the country.
We have to get where goodness. See, it's like the churches out there. They sing the same repetitious messages. We have to bring excitement back to patriotism and the patriot community. We have to make it. And I think somebody mentioned, or I was probably listening to something else, where they make fun of the founding fathers. You know, they were all idiots. They were hicks. George Washington had wooden teeth. You know, it's not cool to know about history anymore. No, or how many times I've heard younger people say, we don't talk about politics. It's not, we just don't want to get into it, you know, because it's a turnoff for them, you know. They'd rather talk about basketball or something stupid that has no meaning, LeBron James, or you know, or something along those lines. So we have to make it. Then again, but we can't get everybody on board anyway. And unfortunately, if we get to this revolutionary part of our country, there's going to be people left out. There always will be. And there's nothing we can do about that. The strong are going to have to stand up and survive, and the good is going to have to overcome the evil. And we're going to have to quash them out. Those who want to come along and be good, great, come on. Those who want to be left behind, we got to kick them in the rear end and leave them behind. That's just how it's got to be.
Well, I'm going to go back to a question I put out there before. And, Karen, I am not sure if you actually end up answering it. Karen Bracken had answered before she dropped off. But going back to 2023, we have a new Congress. We have all these Republicans out there. They're all jumping up and down, ready to do something. They've totally convinced us they're on the side of the Constitution. To me, again, we have the list. One of the first things I personally, and I think I said this on your show last week, Joe, personally think they should shut the government down. You keep those military, the true, true essentials out there, shut the rest of it down. At a minimum, they have to defund and shut down this IRS nonsense. Because the IRS is going to be used as a police force against us. That's what that's all about. So they have to shut that down. I mean, those are the true no-brainers. And then, of course, go into the impeachment of the nutcases when it comes to that border and everything else. Department of Homeland Security. Shut down the Department of Homeland Security because it doesn't secure anything. Shut it down. We need to pull the plug on all of this garbage. Now, the question will be, now here I've mentioned three different things. The IRS, shut down the government itself, and then the impeachment and the shutting down the Department of Homeland Security. Now, we have all these Republicans in there. They all jump up and down. They're sworn in. They're excited to be there, blah, 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 having all their fun. What are they going to do? When they don't do any of those things and they start whatever, I can't even begin to imagine what they will do first. But when some of these very basic things that they should be doing right off the top, and you hear some of them talk about it on the campaign trail, But when they all get in there and they have cold feet, because McCarthy won't do much of anything if they put him in there as a speaker, what are we the people going to do to shut down this militarization, police state, IRS thing? There's a show, a new article, report, whatever it is. The New World Order, the New World Order police, the IRS. What are we going to do when they refuse to do that? What are we going to do when they refuse to go after the Department of Homeland Security and this kind of stuff? What are we going to do as individuals, either individually or collectively with different organizations? So if you want to go first, Joe, and then Karen, you can chime in.
Well, what are we going to do? I think what we're doing right now, we're just going to keep doing and going. And we can't put our faith in the Republican Party. Both parties are funded by the same money, funds both. It's like the Gambinos and the Genovese sitting at the table. You know, they're friends with each other. As soon as one loses money, the other, they're shooting at each other. So, you know, we can't put our faith in that. We have to break away from the two-party system, and that's what we need to be doing now. And that's what that's what I'm involved in. And even though I did run for public office, because, you know, I believe we have to try to get as many good people as we can in there that will stand behind their principles and, like you said, do what they say they're going to do. But most of them are not. You know that. It's going to be the same thing. So, yeah, we have to shut down the federal government. And I believe by doing that is by breaking away from their jurisdiction slowly but surely and keep doing what we're doing, waking the people up and re-inhabiting and restoring our lawful Republican form of government. That's how we do it.
But and that's by itself, that sounds simple, but I'm not hearing the specific task. So the IRS has now, they're coming at my house with their guns saying that they don't think I've paid enough taxes, so they're going to come after me. And I mean, it doesn't matter what the truth is. Do we believe the truth has anything to do with anything going on in Washington, D.C.? The truth doesn't apply to me, as far as I can see. It doesn't exist. So they're going to go out there and twist in whatever they want. They want to throw people out of their houses.
Well,
they want to make you live in some kind of
compound. We can't focus on one thing. That'd be impossibility. We can't do that. We can't focus like a laser beam on one thing. Aaron Russo said that. The only thing you could focus like a laser beam on one thing would be the Federal Reserve banking cartel, because that would shut it all down. But that can't happen because it'd crash our own economy. So we can't focus on just the IRS. You know, we got to cut the head of the snake off.
But going out there and giving guns to 87,000 IRS people to come after everybody is something that they should be able to do quite easily, is what I'm trying to say. If they can't even handle doing something like that, then what do you think they're going to do about any of the other stuff? And with that being said, Karen, you want to let Karen chime in here.
The only difference that I see is that we have the power of the purse, and they don't have to say anything. They just have to not fund anything. And that, if we have the House by itself, that would be the only thing that the House by itself could do, because if we don't have a filibuster-proof Senate, then chances are it's going to be a very, very stagnant 2 years. So it really depends upon how the makeup is of the new Congress. What they do, really depends, again, on the makeup of the Congress. If we actually get a few more Marjorie Taylor Greens and Matt Gaetz, then we might actually see some oversight with some criminal referrals won't – see, the criminal referrals won't go anyplace, because the Justice Department is controlled by the twerk. And in order to get Merrick Garland, you have to impeach him. So I would believe that the first actions that they should do would be to impeach Biden-Harris, Garland, Christopher Wray, and all of them who else needs to be impeached. Mayorkas. Stop funding the government, you're right. It'll be very interesting to see what happens at the end of October, because the continuing resolution runs out. And they need, I think, 60 votes to continue funding the government. So if the Republicans are smart, which they are not. We know that. The ones that are there right now, let me rephrase that. If the ones that are there right now had a brain, they would not fund the government, but they don't, so they won't. So we have that issue to look at. I don't think people realize what these people really believe, and I think that's the biggest problem. And I say that all the time. If we can't recognize our enemy and understand who they are, it makes it very hard to fight them. So if you don't mind, I want to read a couple of quotes from the people that designed these programs so that you will know where they are coming from and why their disciples, that is the O'Biden regime and all of the globalist rhinos, believe this stuff. Because sometimes you listen to them speak, especially our wonderful vice president, who I strongly believe we are a victim of affirmative action with her, because I don't think she can put a sentence together that makes sense. But anyway, it's important to know where they're coming from, because if you don't know where they're coming from, then you can't, you're fighting them on your terms, not on who they are. And the best way to get to them is to know who they are. And we don't know who they are. So I want to share with you a couple of things that their leaders over time have said. All right? This is from David Browner. Now, David Browner was the founder of Friends of the Earth. So he will be involved in your environmental score. And what did David Browner say? The goal is now a socialist redistributionist society, which is nature's proper steward and society's only hope. So you know right away they want to take down capitalism because they're telling you they want to do that. Now, here's another one. This is Judy Barry. And Judy Barry was the principal organizer of Earth First. Now, that was another big environmental movement. And this is what they teach your kids in school. So you got to, we have to figure that. What are our kids being taught? We need to be socialists. What did Judy Barry say? If we don't overthrow capitalism, we don't have a chance of saving the world ecologically. I think it is possible to have an ecologically sound society under socialism. I don't think it is possible under capitalism. What message do you get? They're going to take down capitalism. So why are we surprised that they're taking down capitalism? They tell us what they're going to do. Our problem is we don't listen because we say, oh, how stupid. Why would you want to do that? We're all making money. This is wonderful. We don't want to take this down. Why would you want to do that? She must be nuts. They'll never do that. Well, hello, folks. They have taught enough of our kids to hate capitalism and love socialism, but guess what? That's what they're doing now. And this one is Maurice Strong. Now, Maurice Strong, he was the founder of the UN Environmental Program, who helped to create Agenda 21, i.e. Agenda 2030, i.e. New Green Deal, i.e. Sustainable Development, i.e. Great Reset. Got it? They're all the same thing. They all got a title change and a few fresher-up words and a few deletions, but basically, they're all the same. What did he say? Now, oh, I might add, Maurice made his money in oil. He became a gazillion billionaire in oil. This is what he said. Isn't it the only hope for the planet that the industrialized civilization collapse? Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about? Now, folks, if you were told this when you were a kid growing up over and over and over again, would you think bombing a building would be bad? No, because I'm helping industrialized nation collapse. Maurice told me to do that. They are telling our kids to do this. Here's another one. A massive campaign must be launched to de-develop the United States. De-development means bringing our economic system into line with the realities of ecology and the world's resource situation. In other words, America must be cut down so that it is just the same as Argentina and Venezuela and Cuba and all the other third world countries. America has no right to have anything more than anyone else because, after all, if America has it, others may want it. And if others want it, that will cut into our profit. We have 780 billionaires in America. 780 billionaires. I will bet you that three quarters of these billionaires made their money through some redistributive scheme that came about through the federal government. In other words, they stole the money from we, the people. And they will continue to do that until we stop them and until we recognize who they are. I have two more quotes I'd like to read. This one is from Michael Oppenheimer from the Environmental Defense Fund. The only hope for the world is to make sure there is not another United States. We can't let other countries have the same number of cars, the same amount of industrialization that we have in the U.S. We have to stop these third world countries right where they are. Really? Do you remember when Obama went to Kenya and he told the graduating class, now don't you think you're going to have the same automobiles and air conditioning that they have in America? Really? Where did he get that from? Michael Oppenheimer, I wonder. And the last one is my favorite. And this is from Professor Maurice King, who was a helper in writing Agenda 21. Global sustainability requires the deliberate quest of poverty, reduced resource consumption, and set levels of morality control. How do you like that, folks? So they will deliberately set out to quest poverty for you. In other words, they have been teaching our kids to do more for less. Money doesn't count. What do you need money for? The government will take care of you. Here's your card. And by the way, you had better make sure that you are very, very careful with what you're doing to the planet because we're watching you. And don't eat any more of those chips because we notice you're overweight. And this is what is going to be happening, folks. And we don't think you should be driving in the car today. We think you should be using your bicycle so your car won't work. Oh, we all need electric cars, don't we, Sally?
It's so insane. You cannot get, especially these younger people. You know what I really thought might kind of help reach the hearts of some Americans? Because as I recall from Agenda 21, correct me if I'm wrong, having animals, first off, having air conditioning is not sustainable. Get rid of that air conditioning. So all you people, well, I'm down here in Florida. I need AC. We all need it at some point. So air conditioning is not sustainable. But the other one, too, is domestic pets. If you like having a dog or a cat, you're not going to be allowed to do that because that's not sustainable. We can't do that. That's not good for the environment, the population, whatever else. I mean, I was really thinking, if we go up and say, do you understand they're going to take your pets away from you? Maybe that would get some people's attention because people are very much, the pet is almost like a member of the family kind of thing. Basically is a member of the family for most people. So think about the fact they want to take your pet away. Some people, I think, would probably give their kids away before their pets, so that's another story. But the whole point is you're not going to even be allowed to have a pet cat or a dog. Think about what that really means. People, they got to understand what this is doing. This is a total demise of the society and this culture. Yeah, go ahead.
According to Dr. Harari, who is a worker with Klaus Schwab, who said, of course, you will have nothing and enjoy it. And also Klaus told us that there's no need for you to have that personal automobile. What do you need it for? So I'm wondering if he's going to give up his jet, if I have to give up my 12-year-old car.
Yeah,
anyway,
and you know,
what I was going to say was his worker, Dr. Harari, said that people are nothing more than hackable machines, and that all you have to do is give them video games and drugs, and they will be happy. And if they're not, you can send them to re-education camp. They're not fooling around.
And this is real. People will think this isn't real. It's real. Go out there and see and look around. Just look around at what is happening globally and right here. I mean, it's just it's amazing how so many people are still naive to think that, well, I mean, some of these, the Democrats who drink any Democratic Kool-Aid, they just go along with anything. And we're going to vote for the Democrats because they want the world to all be whatever. Yeah, they have no clue. They're not going to be Democrats. Yeah.
They'll put more money on your SNAP card.
And we didn't get into much of the inflation reduction bill, but the biggie on that one is, like, we kept talking about these 87,000 IRS agents. And I wasn't able to find it. I mean, to literally say an agent must be willing to use deadly force. An IRS agent? Somebody didn't pay their taxes, so you're going to kill them? I mean, it's just so bizarre. Yeah, go ahead.
If you remember correctly, Obama said that he wanted an army that was answerable to him, that would be just as well trained as the elite in the American military.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that that's what they're doing. Because if they fill these positions with, quote, illegals who could care less, and now they've taught all the people not to care about, not to value life. So either you're going to, Miss Sally, how many bedrooms does your house have? Or you have 4 bedrooms or 5 bedrooms or 3 bedrooms. Well, we're going to put a family in each of those bedrooms. But wait a minute. The Third Amendment said that I don't have to quarter military. You can't put these people in my homes. Oh, really? You want your Social Security, you want your Medicare, you want your gun, you want your blah, blah, blah. If you don't give us this, we're not going to let you have that. So therefore, you will have 3 families living in your house, and you will take care of them.
And it's just people don't want to think that can really happen, but yes, it's what they're working towards. It truly is. The other thing when it came, what was the other thing that I think it was Glenn Beck who talked about on this inflation reduction bill. I didn't actually find the specifics because you know how they have mumbo jumbo stuff. It takes forever to dissect the legal jargon they put in these bills, not to mention all the modifications. But he was saying that they will be paying the farmers to not grow. I mean, here we are, and we are the shelves in the grocery stores are already empty for a variety of reasons, and they're going to go out there and give money to the farmers who are already having some problems and somehow to help them, but it's not to help them grow anything. As I understood it from what Glenn Beck was saying, it will literally pay them to not grow. And, I mean, they did this years ago because they were saving the land, whatever routine. So I remember them paying farmers to not grow years ago. But it's at an insane level now. So the food supply, too. And this is all because Nancy wants to save Mother Planet. Mother Planet is mad at us. How can you vote against Mother Planet? She's so sick. She's so evil and so sick.
She needs a good ESG score so she can get her husband out of jail.
We'll talk about him on another show. We got to get into that one. Joe, did you want to say we are down to about 5 minutes here? give you a last another comment, one more comment here as we kind of wrap up, and let everybody know about the show tomorrow if you want them to.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I continue to listen. And tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson, 657-383-0616. Join your lawful republic. We are restoring our republic lawfully the best way we know how, but we need you because it's up to you and it's up to everybody else because it's your government. It's your country. Do you care? Come join us.
And how many are in your group right now?
Oh, Lord. In the group alone, I couldn't even give you an exact number. It's in the thousands, though.
And you got different groups in different states, correct? Yes,
we're in different states. At one time back when we had the military involved, we were looking at probably 500,000 to a million people we had across the country that were just that were in, and then we had the supporters were in the a couple million people. It was wicked large. I saw it coming, and then it just the people just weren't ready. It fell apart, and Obama administration attacked us, and but we got to do it smart this time. You live and you learn, and I believe if we do it right. And the country needs it now. We're so divided now more than ever. So we really need it. We need to come together lawfully.
Okay. And just remind everybody that you were involved in that lawsuit that protected the military from the vaccines and all that other stuff.
Insanity. Yes, I was instrumental in that also with several people from the military who also came on my podcast show. And, we got that permanent mandate now. So, oh, thank God, because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of veterans around the country were very upset and very angry, and that was another, bullet that was dodged there for a lot of civil unrest. So, I don't want to see violence. Nobody does. But, we got to all wake up. We got to come together. And doing it like this on these podcast shows like yours and you coming together on mine, and we share. And it's, like you said, we need more Indians, not any more chiefs. There's no leader here. Everybody's a leader. It's up to you. Everybody's voice is equal.
Yeah, okay. Well, I will do my best to chime in tomorrow evening on your show as well, like I have the last couple of weeks. And everybody, it goes back to kind of what Karen was saying earlier, too. We have to come together where there is power in numbers. We don't want the violence. Now, I've said I have my concerns. How much are we going to do before there is some type of civil unrest? Because I think they don't care about us. So they will do anything they can to shut us down, just like what they've done with Trump. And, I mean, go back, you think of what they've done with Trump and the FBI, militarizing, and whatever you want to call it, with the FBI converting them into a police state kind of thing, and just the evilness of it all, the true, true evilness. If they can do that to Trump, what can they do or not do to us? And that's why we have to come together, be united as one right now, or we really won't stand a chance. United we stand, divided we fall, and we want to be as peaceful as possible, but I don't know that we're going to be able to save this country without any kind of civil unrest. But
we're not going to all get what we want, but you know what? If we just sacrifice a little bit, guess what? When we win this thing and turn us around, everything will fall into place. You will eventually get what you want, I always want to say that. You will always get what we want. Just be patient.
Yeah, well, we didn't get in this mess overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. But we have to prioritize, and we have to do the things, shutting down the invasion of this country, getting the illegals out of here. So you take those, instead of 87,000 IRS, put them in the ICE and in the Border Patrol and get rid of all these illegals who are here to take over and invade this country. And with that being said, Karen, your last few words of wisdom and also about your show, because we are almost out of time.
Well, thank you so much, Sally. It's always wonderful to be with you. You can hear more on the Prism of America's Education brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, Saturday and Sunday, 1 p.m. and 9 p.m. And you can go to KarenShone.com and listen to some of the podcasts. And we're taking a lot of the information that Sally is sharing, and we're sharing that because that's what we have to do. Coming together is what's most important. Paying attention, in our local communities is equally as important. Pay attention to your school boards and make sure that you get people who at least know what the Constitution is and can write a sentence to be on the school board. That would be good. You know, I believe we're at the end game. This is it. If we don't make it on this election, we will get back our country, but we'll never recognize it, and it'll take a couple of, probably about 70, 80, maybe even 100 years. Because once you give up freedom, no government is going to give it back to you and say, here, I'm going to give you back your power. I don't think so. That's not the way it works. And our founders knew that. So we have a hefty job. It's doable because there's more of us than them. And it's so important that we do it because I believe America is worth saving. Do you?
Absolutely. And that is what Trump is out there saying. What does he say at every one of his rallies? This is your country. It belongs to you, not to them. People need to be retrained and educated, understand what that means. It also means citizenship is not the spectator sport. You must be engaged. This is all happening because of brainwashing through public education, et cetera, et cetera. We were led to believe you vote for somebody, then you go home and everything's fine. No, you have got to be engaged also. We must all come together. We must all participate in it. I think I got one last. Okay, let's see. Oh, mention about Shifty Shift. Okay. We all know about that guy. We have to come together to restore our republic. We are a republic, not a democracy. We have to come together, and dear Lord help us. Say a prayer for America. And, as I was telling you on the Substack thing, I did get something set up today. Now, Karen, I know you're going to love this email address. I love my country at Substack.com. So send me, if you have any comments, things you want to talk about on the show, whatever, send it to me at ilovemycountry@substack.com, and we'll try to get it on the show here. We'll have a discussion about it, whatever. Feedback on what you're hearing, whatever, you know, share your thoughts. But I thought, I saw that, and I said, this would be appropriate.
That's terrific. I love that. Love it.
Okay. With that being said, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Please be engaged. Please thank God you're an American. God bless America, and have a good night. We will talk again next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Great show.